My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, October 24th, 2021. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. And if you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give the show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe, $3 a month for hours and hours and hours and hours of bonus content, starting with my love and appreciation for one of my all-time favorite movies and one of my favorite movies in the past 10 years, Columbus, a 2017 film directed by Koganada. I love that movie, and I'm just going to keep that joke running for as long as I can do it. And if you get tired of it, if you write in, you say, Chris, stop talking about that fucking movie, and I'll read it, and I probably won't stop talking about that movie. I actually recommended that movie to a couple of people, and they liked it. And they were like, oh, it was really good. It was a really beautiful film. So there you go. People that you don't know that I could have made up, but I didn't. But I could have made that up and just said it to make myself feel good. But I didn't do that. I'm telling you the truth. This is episode 540. There's no guest. There's just me sitting in my apartment behind this Rode pod mic recommended to me by the great Andy Klein. And I'm just here by myself. I just got up not too long ago. I finished watching SNL, which I fell asleep on when I got home. Not that it was bad. It was just because I had a long week and I was tired. And I finished it. It was fun. Shout out to Jason Sudeikis. Like, I know him and shit. But it was really. I enjoyed it, especially the what up with that. I mean, as soon as it came on, you know, I started it on a half an hour delay, and then people started tweeting about, oh, what up with that? It's like, man, could I have just been pleasantly surprised by that sketch instead of them just like posting about it all the time? For people to really be talking shit about SNL, I mean, yeah, some episodes are better than others, but I've been watching it for years, for as long as I can remember. It's just been a part of my life. And as much as people try to shit on it, they know they want to fucking be on that show. A lot of the people in my community, I'll go to my deathbed saying that people try to talk shit about it. No, people don't try. They do talk shit about that show, but they want to be on it. I'm just like everybody else. I want to be on the fucking show, but I think I'm too old. I've aged out. So hopefully if things take, if we get that incremental progress that I always talk about on the podcast, by the time I'm 70 years old, I will get to host that show. But yeah, they just spoil everything. And for it, you know, people to be, you can be critical of anything, but the way that people talk about that show, you'd think that nobody's watching it. But then every time a sketch comes up, you get an article as soon as it comes out. You get like a little post about it. It's just like, okay, just can you not spoil it? It would have been nice to be pleasantly surprised by that, but so it goes. But I did like the episode. I really dug Jason Sudeikis' monologue. I like how he made it very sentimental and then took the piss out of it right away. But it was still heartfelt. This has been a busy week. I've been busy for the past month. And I'm in the grind. I'm in the thick of it. You can tell how busy you are and how much into the grind you are when your laundry looks like a fucking mountain. I'm hoping maybe tomorrow I'm gonna knock some laundry out because it's getting crazy, man. But I like being busy. I like being an artist, and I like working on my craft, and I like having a job. I like working. So it's good. It's just when you I love New York, and just being in the Times Square area, it just shows you, like, I always thought Times Square was a shit show. And I've only been in the area for like 14 years, and it's just people that I'm working with who have been in the city for 30 years talk about how they've never seen the city this way. Even when it was bad, they've never seen it this way. Like, they say that people are like shooting up on the street. I have not run into that, thankfully. I did see a woman throw up in front of me, like a few feet in front of me. Like, it was just like it was on cue where she was just like, you know, in Hell's Kitchen. And it was just like, all right, New York is back. We're back into it, man. It's just really sad, the smell of the city. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday about, you know, people shitting on Jersey. And I think all they get, and I've said this, you know, like with the guests I've had on the show that are from New Jersey, that live in Jersey, and that, you know, have moved to New Jersey, talk about how beautiful it is and how underrated it is. And I think a lot of people just equate, like, the Meadowlands with it being kind of scummy. And there is a weird smell. I used to smell when I would take the train into the city and stuff like that, but nothing like the weird smells that urine, you know what that is when you're walking in Times Square and in that area. But it's like, I don't know. I think New York's got New Jersey beat. I mean, you got all you got the arts and all this cool stuff in the city, but like Times Square is a shit show. And I don't know. It's bad, man. I have a thing that I'm not going to talk about that happened yesterday. I don't think I'll talk about it I don't think I'll talk about it on the main feed. That just kind of bummed me out. Yeah, it's just kind of a shit show. And I think I talked to you guys about it a couple of weeks ago, where even where I park at, it's not a bad area, but it could be kind of sketchy at a certain time of night. Like, a guy thought he was going to test me a little bit by talking to me, and he thought I was a nerd because I had a backpack on. I am a nerd, but don't test me. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm a man still. I'm a man still, right? Yeah, I am. Don't come at me with that weird shit. And then sometimes people, like last night, I was walking back to my car, and it was about 11 o'clock. And there's a lot of people on the street and stuff walking. And you know how there's some people that, you know, they're excited that they're in New York City. They don't know where they are, and they're just looking and stuff. It's like, if you're going to do that, look off to the side, get to a place where people can pass through and move, because those people know where they're going. But don't just stand in the middle of the street, you know. So there was in the middle of the sidewalk in other people's way. Like, I try to do that. And I think that's the thing. I've talked about this on the show before, but like, when you're a big person or you're just a person of, I can only speak from my experience, but I can have empathy and understand where other people come from and stuff like that. But just being a big black dude, I'm very considerate of space. Being a big person and also being black, you just kind of know, like, hey, I'm taking up space. I need to move, get out the way. I need to, you know, I just need to do that. But some people don't, they don't think like that. And they're just like, they're just in the way people, you know, where it's like, you're just walking around with no purpose and no destination. It's okay to not know where you're going. And I don't want to be like one of those people that's like, hey, what the fuck? It, you know, like fucking tourists. You know, that's what people do. You know, they're having a good time. But some people, it's just annoying and they're in the way. So there was this couple. I guess they may have come from seeing a play or something. And there's this woman and her boyfriend, husband, partner. And she keeps looking back at me. And I'm like, oh, God, like, I'm not going to do it. I'm a black dude with a flannel on and a backpack just trying to get back to my car because I didn't pack my jacket. I didn't wear a jacket and it was kind of cold. And I'm not going to bother. But she just kept looking at me and I didn't get a chance to get around her to just be out of the way to where she thought I was fucking following them, you know, because there are weird people like that. But I think there's some people that they start acting weird or they start talking out. I don't know if it's mental health stuff going on. Probably is, where they're kind of like wilding out and then they see me and they stop. Because then my guard's up. And part of me wants to like only wear one earbud so I can just vibe out to my music or podcast. But then you kind of have to have your head on a swivel and be alert. But at the same time, am I going to have my anxiety or my adrenaline levels up because people want to act weird? And sometimes I'm just like, no, I'm going to listen to my jams. And I would see, I'm still watching people. And when I would see people, they would start to, it's almost like everybody in New York City is like an NPC for my like self-absorbed world where I'm just trying to get to the theater or trying to get to wherever I'm going. And it's just like they're like I'm in Horizon Zero Dawn, Horizon, New York City, you know, but they're just like, it's just weird, man. And when you're black and they think you're going to rob them or something, it's like, I remember one time this white woman, I was walking near her. We were just going in the same direction. And she kept looking back at me like I was going to do something. I was like, I'm going to my parking spot. I don't give a fuck about you. I mean, not that I don't care. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to get back to my car. I'm trying to get out of here. I'm trying to get out of this cesspool. You probably live here. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm not trying to do anything to you. And just kept looking back until I could get room to break through and get in front of her. It's just so hard, guys. But other than that nice 10-minute walk that I have every day to the theater, it's been okay. It's been a good week. TPS by reports by day, and theater at night. But I did get to do some stand up on Friday night, which was a lot of fun. Shout out to Patrick Holbert and Katie Compa. They have this show at QED Astoria called End of the Line Comedy, and it was really fun. So after the show on Friday, I skedaddled over to Astoria and did like eight minutes, and it was fun. I got to work on some new stuff and put some stuff together, some new stuff with some old stuff, and it worked out pretty good. Like, that place is, QED is kind of small, and if you have like a captive audience of like 10 or 15 people, you can get some work done and you can see where your jokes land. I was talking about something. I forgot. I referenced something and somebody was like, "Aw." I was like, "Come on, it's midnight. Chill out, dude." Yeah, but thanks to Katie and Patrick, that was fun. I had a really good time. It was just good to be in that environment again after just kind of being away for like a month. I got to try to put some more shows together. I got to try to get something in before while I'm doing this show. But I need to get some more stand up in. Would be nice to have some to get some shows in, to get some reps in, because I'm actually trying to work on stuff. So trying to work on an hour, the sequel to Failed Running Back. I already have the title. I have some of the sequence of where I want the jokes to go. And so I just want to keep working on that. And good things. What else is going on this week? Alec Baldwin didn't have a good week. My God. I mean, he was told that he had that a round that was not live in his gun that he fired on that set. And he did. And he killed the cinematographer, injured a producer. It's like, just immediately reminded me of Brandon Lee and that horrible accident. It's just bad for everybody involved, especially the cinematographer, man. That's horrible. And apparently that production company has been having problems with trying to cut corners, and so it's not gonna look good for them. But that's what happens that's the worst thing to happen when you cut corners like that. Somebody dying on set. It's just fucking sad, man. I don't have too much. I think this might be a relatively short one. I got something fun that's for the Patreon folks that by the time you hear this one, it'll be loaded onto your feed. That was a fun one. And then one that I'm excited about, but it is happening very soon and I'm super excited about it, but I don't want to tell you anything about it before it's, and I shouldn't even be talking about it like this now, like I'm talking to you about it. But either way, when I'm just going to be positive, when it happens, it's going to be good. And I'm talking, my voice, I just woke up and my voice is like really weird right now. It's sounding kind of weird. But anyway, I'm going to fight through this because I need to provide you content, because I am a content creator. And it's what I do. It's what I freaking do. Okay. The Ben Simmons thing, I don't know. I think Dominique Foxworth described it best, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you know, yeah, you might not want to be in Philly, but you're a max player. He's a max player. He's still going to have to produce in some form or fashion if he's with another team. And I'm all for player empowerment, but I mean, you have a max contract, and play out the contract, you know. But he's not the first player to complain about wanting to be in another situation, wanting to go to another team. But the way he's going about it is just like, it's not good. And if some people might point back to LeBron being the catalyst, but for a lot of this player empowerment stuff, but LeBron played out his contract, you know, like he played out his contract and then he went to Miami. You know what I mean? He waited. So it's not the same thing. And then I think even Dominique Foxworth, he said it on Bomani's show. He was saying that, like, oh, I forgot. He's like, is like Rich Paul and LeBron talking to him? Like, it's just weird. But I think like somebody like Ben Simmons, I don't know, that Showtime documentary was good. And I get the college stuff, like LSU, like they're exploiting you. College athletics exploits you, and you know, going through that and doing what he had to do and just getting through LSU, I guess, for that first year, I believe. But this other stuff, like being coddled, and it's like, dude, you're going to have to, you got to shoot. You got to make, you know, like you passing up shots when you're an all-star. Like, it's not like he's not talented. Like, dude, make that shot. Do that layup. You know, it's, I don't know. I'm not trying to turn this into a Dear Ben Simmons episode, but it just speaks to a lot of these dudes that get coddled, and when something goes wrong, when there's that. I mean, you learn through adversity. That's another thing they talked about on The Right Time. I'm just going to tell you everything they said. I'm going to tell you everything Bomani and Dominique Foxworth said on The Right Time. But it just rings true. I mean, I just echo their sentiments, echo their statements on that, because it was just, I mean, that's how you grow. When bad things happen, you try to come out on the other side of it and you learn something, hopefully, you know. I mean, that's what sports is about. It's not always going to be sweet like that. So I think, I mean, Jason Kidd, who they compare him to a lot, Jason Kidd didn't always have a jump shot, but he developed one and he got better. And he's now one of the, what is it, the 75 greats, whatever, they added 25 folks onto the top 50. You know, I just hope it works out, because you just like I always say, you want to see these guys play. You want to see these dudes healthy, and you want to see the best of the best go at it. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what sports and competition's all about, bro. That's what you want to see. And it's no different with Ben Simmons. So you want to see this talented dude play and not use mental health as an excuse. Stephen A was talking about that on First Take, and he delicately and eloquently talked through that, like, you know, cuz Ben Simmons, like, said there was mental health reasons why he you know, isn't able to play. He isn't mentally prepared to play, and he had since July to get ready. But if you're using that as, if that's a bullshit excuse and you're using that, that's fucked up. And that's not cool, especially not for the people who do have mental health issues and are really going through something, whether it be in sports or whether it be in everyday life, you know. So that's not cool to take that route if he is doing that. I don't know what's in that young man's heart and in his mind, but yeah, it's not good if he's bullshitting. What else is going on? I don't know. Let's do some, like, this will just be a short one, I guess. I'll talk about some TV and some movies and some music, because I got some music recommendations. I finished On My Block the last season, and I enjoyed it. I really think time will show that On My Block is a special show for young people of color, because I don't think I've ever seen anything like that since Ghost Rider. A diverse cast. I think they had a Latino kid, they had a black kid, white girl on Ghost Rider. But it's a special show because it shows these people of color going through stuff. It's very light, but it's kind of heavy in parts that other sitcoms and other shows, because it's different. It's a show of its time because it's dealing with some issues. But it's like, man, the death kind of bummed me out a little bit. There were two deaths in season four that just kind of, like, I get what you're doing there and I understand the story that you're telling, but man, it's just, it kind of bummed me out. But I guess maybe that's because I was invested in the characters, so the show at the same time is doing its job. So I don't know. I kind of have complicated feelings about it, but it started off as a relatively heavy show, like dealing with anxiety after like a character gets shot and he's dealing with that for the next season. So I don't know. It's a fascinating show, like, cause it's funny, it's poignant, and it's doing a lot of different things. It's like juggling a lot of balls in the air, a lot of plates juggled. What do they say? A lot of plates in the air when you're juggling. I don't know, but who knows? Somebody else that's listening to this is like, God damn it, Chris, it's this. But I really enjoyed that. It was a nice way to. It was a nice ending, and I dug it. Impeachment, the Monica Lewinsky show, the American with Impeachment, American Crime. I got to get caught up on that. I binged it maybe a week or two ago, and I think I'm two episodes behind now. So I got to get caught up on that. I do like it. I think Beanie, like JL Covan, the homie JL, was talking about it recently, and I said, "Oh, I got to get back into that." And I'm into it. I like it. I think Beanie Feldstein is it Feldstein or Feldstein? She's gonna be in Funny Girl, and I kind of want to see that. Like I'm gonna be basic, and I want to see a Broadway show with an actress, a big time actress. Feldstein, it's Beanie Feldstein, Jonah Hill's sister. I want to see that. I want to see Funny Girl. I think I will try to go see it. Pay an exorbitant amount of money to go see that. But she's great as Monica Lewinsky. I could see her getting nominated for that. Yeah, so I'm into that. I've been enjoying that. I don't know if I said this on Wax yet. I think I might have been talking about it with Veronica P on the Patreon. I think we just did. Sarah Paulson as Linda Tripp, just fucking amazing, just chewing scenery like a velociraptor, or I guess just she's killing it basically. So I've been enjoying that. That's really good. American Rust on Showtime, I've been watching that with Jeff Daniels and Maura Tierney. That's good. Solid. It's like I think I said before, like it's no Mayor of Easttown, but it's still good. It's still interesting and good. And Jeff Daniels and Maura Tierney are always fun to watch. I enjoy them. I think one of my first Broadway experiences, like back going to theater, not like very first, but just like starting to go check out theater, I think might have been in like 2015 or 2016 when he did this production of Blackbird. Jeff Daniels did with Michelle Williams, and Michelle Williams was the reason that I really wanted to. I was like, oh, Michelle, wow, I'd love to go see her do some live theater. And it was great, and it was like a two-person play. I think it might have been 90 minutes. Yeah. And that was a show. When I talk about Magic Time, one of the ushers reminded people before the show. She was like, make sure you turn your cell phones off before Magic Time. And I was like, yeah, it is magic what these artists do on stage. So I know some of my castmates are seeing plays like during our break on Saturdays, like catching a show because our call time's late, and I need to partake in that at some point. I need to get at least one or two of them in to see something, to be moved and experience some stuff. I did get to see Merry Wives of Windsor last month, but I want to, it that was outside, and I want to kind of experience it in the theater, so I need to make that happen. Anyway, let's do some, but I recommend On My Block, finish that. And I did talk about briefly talked about Dear White People. I finished that too. So I gotta find another show. Probably next show that I'll get into, that I'll start, will most likely be only Murders in the Building. And I know Succession started, but I think I can wait for that to binge them all. I think I can wait. So anyway. All right. So movies, I'll do some, like Veronica and I did some art house stuff that we saw on Patreon. You can exclusively on Patreon. But I'll talk about a couple mainstream flicks that I saw. I saw No Time to Die. I saw the James Bond flick, and I liked it. It was fun. It's typical standard issue James Bond. But one of the surprising things for me, like the best thing about, well, there's two of the best things. Now, I don't really want to spoil, I don't think I'll spoil the thing that one. I will not spoil one of them. I'll only talk about one thing. Because if I talk about the other, then that is spoiling stuff. I thought Ana de Armas was like my favorite part of the movie. Not only is she very beautiful, she's also very charming. And that shows in this film. And I wanted more of her. I always, I thought she was beautiful. I've seen her in a few other things after seeing her in Knives Out. And she was good in those, but it's something about a woman who's beautiful and also very charming too. Like, I want to see her do more of that. And she was like kicking people's ass. So, I mean, what more would you want in a freaking broad like that? She was great. So I really, I'm digging her. I think she should do more action. I really enjoyed it, but I did like the movie. Rami Malek was good. He's obviously going to be a good villain just by the way he looks. So I enjoyed it for what it was. Would have liked to have seen it in Dolby or some other format other than the digital at the AMC Empire, which had enough time to remodel their fucking theaters, but they just say, fuck it, we're in Times Square. If you need to see a movie, you fucking come here, asshole. And what are you going to do about it? I'm just a snob when it comes to that. You pay this good money for these seats and stuff. It should be better. All right. Anyway, the next movie I want to talk about is Dune. Dune, I saw Dune last night. Now, I know it's on HBO Max, but I've been reading tweets that you got to see it in the theater. Oh my God, you got to see it in the theater. So I was going to see like a 4:30 screening after the matinee. Somebody got a seat directly next to me. And I was like, ugh. So somebody did that on Thursday. Somebody did that on Friday and I was like, ugh. Then I looked at it and on Saturday I made another reservation. Somebody did it again. I was like, ugh. I think when it's a big movie, people do that. So with the Eternals, which I am excited to see because it's a Marvel movie, I think maybe I'll probably end up seeing it maybe the next week, the following week. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see what happens. But I know that movie's going to be a shit show with people just being on top of each other. And somebody was saying, maybe they don't do the 60% seating. I was like, no, they don't fucking do that. They don't care about that shit anymore. Because they really, if you got your vaccination card, you're just going to be out there kicking it. And it's just going to be what it is. So it's like that shit is over with. What made me mad last night? I was just scrolling through Facebook and I saw where comedian Maria Bamford, super talented, one of the greats, just posting, promoting the show. I'm going to be at this spot next week or wherever. And I was just looking and I saw where one person commented under her post saying, Maria, some people aren't vaccinated, and you're doing shows in places where people have to show their vaccination cards and blah, blah, blah. And shame on you, Maria. And Maria is a sweetheart. I've had the pleasure of meeting her a couple times. And she's just like, yeah, well, you know, my dad is a physician and my sister's in the medical field. So, you know, I thought this would be safe. And if you don't want to be a fan, that's fine with you. This is fine, you know. But then I think people kind of slammed them too. But like, it's like, fuck you. Don't go to the show if you unvaccinated asshole. You know, like, the fuck out of here with that shit. And it's always attacking people. It's attacking people who are nice. You know what I mean? It's like, ugh, the fuck out of here. So it's kind of like that. If you're vaccinated, you're just going to be by these people. And it is what it is. And you can enjoy the things that you were enjoying before March of 2020. You really can. It's nice out here when you can go outside and be around people. And I kind of lost touch of, you know, my life is pretty reclusive anyway, even though I do stand up and go to work. But it is kind of like J.D. Salinger-esque. I'm not going to say that I'm as talented as J.D. Salinger and I've achieved the things that he achieved. But it's still like when I think of reclusiveness, I think of like, that's what I think of. I just think of him. But yeah, like, fuck off. It's just the access that people have to these celebrities and to just be able to, and that's what you say to them. Whatever, man. So I did see Dune, and I got to, so I got a 6 o'clock ticket reservation, and I saw it in Prime, AMC Prime, so. With AMC Prime, you get like a really cool picture and all that. And it's nice seats, reclining seats. And the seats have haptic feedback, like the PlayStation controllers and stuff. It like bzzz, when something happens and all that shit, it rumbles. Dune. Let me read the blurb on Dune here. I thought that I did. Okay. So let me read this Google blurb. Paul Atreides, a brilliant and gifted young man born into a great destiny beyond his understanding, must travel to the most dangerous planet in the universe to ensure the future of his family and his people. As malevolent forces explode into conflict over the planet's exclusive supply of the most precious resource in existence, only those who can conquer their own fear will survive. This was directed by Denis Villeneuve, talented director. I don't know that I said that right. And he also directed No Time to Die. He's got two big movies out. But COVID, made that. Anyway, I thought it was okay. Beautifully shot. Great cinematography. It is one that's nice to see on the big screen. They told me Zendaya was going to be in it, and she appears in the main character's dreams, like Timothy Chalamet's dreams and shit. And then she kind of comes on for a few minutes at the end. I mean, that was the only real draw. I had no connection to the original, the books or anything like that. But you tell a black person that You tell black people that Zendaya is going to be in it. God damn it. Show us some Zendaya. But I was prepared for her to not be in it that much, but it was fine. They talked about spices a lot in this. This movie could have been called Spice Fight or like Spice Wars or something with spice in it. The acting was good. I just don't know how much I cared. Then without spoiling anything, and I think the next time I have someone on the show that's seen it, I will get into my more Hotepian thoughts about the movie, towards the very end. And that kind of, I just kind of rolled my eyes and I was like, fuck out of here. But it's interesting the way it's set up, and it kind of reminded me of I'm not saying it's as good as, but there's elements of like Empire Strikes Back in this, where a lot of shit is getting fucked up, and I was just like, okay, that's pretty neat. I would be interested in seeing the sequel, hopefully with more Zendaya in it. You can't put her on the fucking poster and expect black people to not be pissed off. But it's okay. It's okay. You know, if you're in it for the spectacle and you want to see, you know, all the bells and whistles, if you're going to go to the theater, to see this movie, see it in a really cool format. It is shot for IMAX. So I've been told. So maybe see it in IMAX, but and make sure you have some rest before you see it. I dozed off a couple times. It's fine. So I saw that. And what is the next movie I want to talk about? I saw No Time to Die. This next movie I want to talk about, man. This movie called Runt. And it's a movie on VOD. That stars the late Cameron Boyce, who was an actor. Let me see what the stuff that he was on. He was on like some of these kids. I think he was a Disney kid. And really talented. Like he's an Afro-Caribbean and Afro-American descent. And he died. He had a seizure. And he passed he passed away. And this was kind of like a Disney kid. He was in a bunch of Disney stuff, really talented kid. And he had popped up in some movies too. The first, the two Grown Ups movies, Adam Sandler, and Chris Rock in them. He was in Eagle Eye too. Okay. And just kind of like a lot of kid stuff. And then I think I seen him in Miss Fletcher, the show with Agatha Harkness, Catherine Hahn, the limited series. I guess you'd call that a limited series. Yeah, it's a limited series. He was in that for a bit. And he does this movie, Runt. Let me read you the blurb for this. Let me see. Let me read you this. Okay. All right. Here we go. Neglected and unsupervised, a group of high school seniors find themselves pulled into a downward cycle of violence. So this movie Runt, it stars Cameron Boyce, and he's this kid named Cal, and he's just kind of like a loner. He's just like a not popular kid. He's an artist, and he's got a crush on this girl, this Latina girl. She's really pretty. He draws pictures of her and stuff, and he's just like, not one of the popular kids. And the guys on the football team like cheat off of his work in class, and they beat him up. And then there's two inciting incidents. I don't want to spoil this because I want you guys to see it. And it's like, man, I want this kid to get his revenge. I want this kid to do what he needs to do. I don't care if these people die. I don't want him to die, but I want to see Cal take care of these kids. And it's set in the backdrop is in high school. These kids are seniors. It's, you know, and it's also cool because he's an artist and he's kind of like a badass. But it's very, without spoiling anything, and really, it's very John Wickian. It's John Wick-esque in a lot of ways. It's really fun. And I tell you, like, I started watching it Friday night. I watched maybe the first half hour, and I just got sleepy because I had had a long day. But it wasn't because of the movie. I was tired from the day. And I was like, okay, I like where this is going. This is good. Because part is like, I was like, okay, I'm liking this. And so I'm eating breakfast, and I'm watching this, and I was talking to the screen. I was like talking to my TV like a black person. And I was just like, yo, I was like, oh my God, I hope this doesn't happen. Please, God, please, 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 please. No, 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 no. So I was really invested in this film, and I just really enjoyed it, man. I highly recommend this. I was nervous because I was like, this shit is good. I was going to hit up Tim. I was going to text Tim like, yo, this shit is great. The homie Tim Hall. And I hit him up after I watched it, texted him, showed him the trailer. Yo, you got to watch this. I hit another homie up. And I was like, yo, this movie is it's for real. What is that? Is that my AC going? I don't know. Okay, but anyway, Runt is very good. I got emotional. I didn't cry. I'll tell you if I cried, but I was emotionally invested in this film. And yeah, there's a couple scenes that just, I was like, yo, man, this is more than I bargained. I was like, whoa, it's very good. I really dug this movie. And it's very tragic the way that that Cameron Boyce went out, man. And you know, it's really sad. And it's just kind of like, as an artist, you see somebody that passes like this. Like, I think of like when I listened to Mac Miller's last album, and was like, man, it's really sad that he's gone, but he's going to live forever through his art. And the way that Cameron Boyce laid it down in this movie, it was like, yo, I mean, he went out, he's gone, he's not here, but we got this movie. He gave us this movie. He gave us his heart. And it was just really, it's really fucking good. And that obviously, I always say this when somebody, an artist passes away, you know, he left something behind. And even though his family misses him and the people he was close to really miss him, but he left something behind for all of us to appreciate, man. And it was just a great curtain call for him, man. And it's sad because I wish I could see more from him. I wish I could play his dad in a movie. You know, shit like that, man. I wish I could, you know, man, it's sad, but it's bittersweet. But that's like, man, it's up there. I really dug it. And I think it's part of it's being sentimental to his passing, but also that performance was really good. So I highly recommend it. Just be prepared, because you're going to get. Yeah, I can't wait for somebody to see this and talk about it on the show. That's how I like to do it on the show, where it's just like, if I really like something, I'm going to try to not spoil it, but just recommend that you see it. And then we can talk about it at a later date. Let's do some music and just get out of here. Why don't we? What are we? 47 minutes in. That's not bad. Okay, so Wale surprise released an album. I didn't know he had an album out. One of the greats from the Maryland, D.C. area. Ambition 2. I liked it. Wale can rap. He rap his ass off. But I think he concerns himself with his haters a lot. And it's like, dude, you're dope. Who gives a fuck about those people? But he can rap. He does a lot of he does songs for the girls, songs for the ladies. I like it. Solid album. Has some good records on there. Speaking of PG County, and I didn't realize this, but I think I found out from OK Player that Wale like had an album out. I was like, oh shit, all right, I didn't know that. And so I listened to it on the way to the theater yesterday, and it was good. This kid, I don't call him a kid because I'm fucking older than him, I'm sure. This kid, Reggie Becton. he has some projects out, and let me go to his I want to go to his page on Apple Music. Reggie, oh come on, Reggie Becton, there we go. So he has a couple. Wait a minute, I thought he had something else that was like an EP. Am I looking at the right thing? He's got a new album out called California, and that's what I listened to, and it's good. It's like 37 minutes. It came out October 12th, and that was on OK Player, and I was like, oh, this is good. Okay, so then he had an album called Phases, which I have not listened to. I listened to Thank You for Listening. That was an EP, and that's like that came out December of 2020. So I need to listen to Phases. But this is, I just looked this up when I was deciding that I was going to talk about his music, and this is from his website. Reggie Becton is a bold storyteller who shoots straight from the heart, with every emotion emphatically oozing out of his belly. Oh, that's interesting. The PG County, Maryland native discovered the sounds of Marvin Gaye, Prince, Tank, Avant, and Brandy at the young age of 17, and since then has worked with and been mentored by musicians who have written and produced for some of the top voices in R&B. His music is a breath of fresh air with the right amount of nostalgia, creating a unique fusion of classic R&B and new wave rock and soul. I like this guy. I did like his music because I listened to two projects and they're pretty short. So I'm going to follow him on Instagram right now, live. We're going to do it live. Fuck it, we'll do it live. So he's good. So I recommend him. I did really enjoy his stuff. There is another project, Bathe. These dudes, like Van Hunt posted about them a couple years ago on his Instagram, and I followed them, and I did listen to their, they had this project. They got a new project out called Bicoastal. That's the latest project. But I remember Van Hunt posting about their first, let me see, I don't know if it's their first one, because if I said that, I don't want to lie to you. But it's they're called Bathe, B-A-T-H-E. That's how I'm going to pronounce it, and because that's how it's spelled. So they had this project that came out in 2019 called I'll Miss You. And that is a 7-song album, and it's 17 minutes long, and it's good. The record, Sure Shot is the lead single, is the first single, and that's a nice jam. But this new one by Coastal, I think it's terrific. Like these dudes are good. They're Brooklyn based. And I think these guys met in college. I want to make sure. So they met in college. Let me see what the name of these guys' names. The Brooklyn Bathe is an accurate name for the Brooklyn based duo made up of Devin Dev Hobdy and Corey Smith West. Dev's airy vocals and Corey's reverberated guitar sound feels like the initial contact of waves washing ashore and surrounding someone's feet, slowly beckoning listeners to take a deep dive into the waters. And that's from OK Player. Like, yeah, these dudes are good. I've been vibing out to that. They're two projects. Bicoastal's really good. And if you go to their website, they have like a companion piece. It's called batheyourself.com, and I would assume that that's how they pronounce it. So if it's saying bathe yourself, you should bathe yourself, be kind to others and bathe yourself. But they have like a companion piece to each track, and they got like some pictures and a little description on what they, you know, what the song's about, and it's good. I really dig what these dudes are doing. And I think maybe, you know, if you take my musical recommendations to heart, I think you'll dig it. Yeah, they got some good shit, man. I think I posted the record First Base on Instagram, like my little Instagram story. It's a nice jam, man. Some good stuff. I've been trying to get back into listening to more music, because I mainly like an old person, listen to podcasts, and I enjoy that a lot. And music, it's kind of hard for the music to seep in. But I've been in a mood lately where I've just kind of been expanding my, I just have like an Apple Music playlist that I call Jams. And that could be from anywhere from like Eric Roberson to Selena Gomez to Jill Scott to Leanne LaHavis, and just anything that I like that has a jam. And I've really been into two records that I've really been into this week. This record by Solomon Fox called Bodies in Ocean. Solomon Fox is I would assume he's the producer of this band that the homie Mike Brown put me on to called Young Bull from North Carolina. And he has a solo record out that came out, I think, if not earlier this year, it came out last year. I think it was last. I can easily look that up for you. I got him just pulling my phone out. Let me see. As I take the time, I was trying to be as accurate as possible. And then that's like making dead air come up, leading to moments of dead air. It came out, yeah, March 24th, 2021. It's a good album. I gotta just kind of listen to more of it, but Bodies in Ocean is fucking official. It's one of those it's like, you ever get where you're kind of you got like shit on shuffle, and there's a record that comes up that you just kind of keep putting on repeat, and just like, oh god, love the melodies, love the, oh my god, the melody is fucking fantastic on that one. And so I've been listening to that, and I was walking in Times Square, and I was going somewhere, and this record called Neither One of Us with Madison McFerrin and Fonte off of Zoe's album Forefront. Now, I know Abstractions with Tall Black Guy is out. That's the current joint, and it's official. The homie Zoe was on the podcast. He's now a friend of the pod, and he was on, and he's promoting that, and it's terrific. But this joint from Forefront, this Neither One of Us, is dope as fuck. It's like, that's another record that came up in the shuffle. I put it on the playlist. I know it's dope, but it just kind of hit differently when I was walking through the city and it came on, and I was like, oh shit, I forgot about this joint. And I listened to it like four or five times. Then I listened as I was walking down to the theater. Then as I was walking back, I listened to it a couple times. And it's a harmony at the end that the two of that Madison and Fonte do together. That's fucking, it just puts a fucking smile on your face. It's so good. I love it. I fucking love music, bro. It's so beautiful, man. It is so talented. It's just like, god damn, they hit it out the park with that. And it's just, there's just so much content, and you kind of forget. So some of those are, you gotta kind of force yourself back into letting yourself enjoy stuff that you enjoy. I don't know if that makes sense. Enjoy the stuff you love, or just kind of, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard when there's so much stuff out that you feel like nobody's holding a gun to your head where they're like, listen to this, watch that, motherfucker. But it's just like, you're like, god, I forgot how great that shit is, you know? So that's two of my favorite records this week. I'll try to do that. Maybe I'll try to do that more often. Like, give you, like, not only just recommend a album or an artist, but just like, if there's some songs that I'm into, maybe I should just like recommend that, and make a playlist of those songs that really just kind of stand out for me that week, and just like tell you about them. So who knows? Maybe that'll help you. Well, I think I've done enough. I think I've done enough podcasting on this episode. I want to thank you. I hope you got something out of it. I hope it entertained you. I hope it got you through some laundry, which I need to do hopefully tomorrow. But I hope you're having a great week. I hope this podcast finds you living your best life. I hope it finds you in the attempt of living your best life, if that makes any sense. So without further ado, I want to thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.